Can Live In It 2 times a week right here on Podcast One. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, we have so much to talk about. This is like crazy, 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 crazy.
I know. Go.
I have to tell you all about this insane thing I've been asked to do that I put out in the universe and it came to me and I'm terrified and I have to do it. And I have to tell you all about that. I have to tell you about my weekend with Coco. And we're recording a little bit early this week because I'm leaving for New York with Katarina on our little special trip. I'm going to tell you about all the plans for that. We have an amazing guest on the show today, Shannon Watts, and what she has been able to do for our children and their safety and gun control is really unbelievable. And she's not anti-gun. Just, I want you all to know that from the get-go, because I know that some people, when they hear gun control, they think they're anti-gun. But what she's been able to do is amazing. And it's just such a good story about how it just takes one voice to start so much.
Absolutely.
So Shannon Watts is going to be on the show later. Before we get started, be sure to check the show description in the episode for links to all of today's sponsors, as well as my Amazon that keeps the podcast free. But have you guys heard of Tamara Mellon Shoes? Oh my gosh, I've been obsessed with them for years. It's this brand from the co-founder of Jimmy Choo. Tamara Mellon is redefining luxury and breaking rules by offering beautiful shoes that are handcrafted in Italy in the same factories as other luxury designers, but for honest prices, no ridiculous markups, no retailers, instead delivering direct to women. I just got the most beautiful pair of black patent leather pointy toe pumps, and they have these two little straps, and they were amazing. And they hold up so well. I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was one time I was running to this temporary studio to do the podcast, and it was raining outside, and I ruined the bottom of my shoes. Well, I have news for you. There is complimentary shoe care with every purchase. Everything is guaranteed with Tamara Mellon Shoes, with repairs for up to 2 years. And if you need any help, their team of liaisons you can chat with on your phone. Free shipping and returns, and no limit to when you can return. It's super easy to order. 0% financing is available. Plus, their fit quiz makes it easy to find your size based on other brands you wear. For my listeners only, shop TamaraMellon.com and use code Heather for $100 off your first pair through the end of September. My promo code Heather is valid only through September 30th. That's T-A-M-A-R-A, Tamara Mellon, M-E-L-L-O-N, TamaraMellon.com, and use promo code Heather for $100 off your first pair through the end of September. And check out their boots, too. They're awesome. Oh my God, so much to tell you. And I'm like hyperventilating and freaking out because of this thing I need to tell you about. And so Dr. Olson, Mark Olson, you know, our fabulous dentist friend who we love, he's got this hairless cat, Shrimpy.
Yeah, I saw the video.
Oh, that Terry posted?
Yeah, what?
So apparently Shrimpy doesn't like that many people.
Uh-huh.
Likes me.
Of course he does.
Shrimpy the hairless cat, and then
Tawny. You feed him something?
Not until later.
Oh.
No, he liked me, crawled up on me, and he was talking to me, and we're having a moment. And
he likes your pheromones.
He does. And then later, Tawny gave me, Mark's wife, gave me a string bean.
That's so funny.
Because he likes string beans.
Yes.
He is like the freakiest little cutest thing.
He is cute. That's like their little baby.
Anyway, so, you know, I have pretty white teeth, but like I get that yellow above, I don't know, like what do you call that? Like right near the gum line.
Yep.
It's so gross. And I'm just not good. I don't even drink coffee, but I'm not good at
flossing.
No, I'm great at flossing. Are you kidding? I'm a flosser and a brusher. I'm so good at that. Because, you know, there's a big correlation between flossing and heart disease.
Yes.
Yes. Do you floss?
I don't.
You need to floss.
I need to.
It's
I know.
It's so important.
I know.
I didn't get
it. I do every once in a while, but I'm really not diligent with it.
Let me scare you. Guess what pregnancy can do?
What?
Make your gums recede.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yes, it happened to me with Coco, and I had to have all of these hideous periodontal excavating treatments.
What?
Mm-hmm.
It happened after the birth?
Can't
or
remember.
During? Oh, don't scare. Okay, that's
I feel like after.
Thing.
It was bad.
I'm going to go bald.
Start flossing.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, they have this new fancy whitening thing.
Okay.
But I didn't realize how much at home stuff I had to do, or else I might not have pulled the trigger like today. But I went, and first they have this really cool device, and they stick it in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Remember the old days where they'd put that gross stuff in your mouth, and you'd like be drooling and trying to swallow, and they'd make that mold?
Yes.
And then it would be like
you have to like bite down.
And then like yeah. take it out. And mm-hmm. all right, they don't do that anymore. So they have like this pen, literally like a pen, and they put it in your mouth, and it takes all the 3D pictures and yeah. and not hideous like the Thor baby
yeah.
in the 4D image. Yeah. So many people were sending me pictures of that. So funny. So funny. And then they make a mold of that, and then they make you trays, mm-hmm. and you go into the office, and they do this like preliminary thing, a conditioning treatment on your teeth. That's what I did today. Mm-hmm. And it's two little 20-minute sessions. And Terry, it's right next door to Terry's office, yeah. and he happened to have an hour off, so he came and hung out with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so cute.
And he was very bummed because Shrimpy the cat did not like him.
Of course not.
But loved me. So you do that, and then here's where it gets a little annoying. So then you have these at-home trays, and you have to do it for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Every night, sleep in it.
Oh, you have to sleep in it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're used to that because you have your
my
night.
TMJ yeah. guard. Yeah, I know, but 2 weeks is a lot. And so you do that for 2 weeks, and then it was so funny.
Where are you on like the yellow scale? Are you at 1 out of 10, 10 being like so yellow? How
she didn't describe it like that. It's funny because I asked. Uh-huh. Of course I asked. Yeah. I'm like, so how yellow are my teeth? She's like, no. She's like, you're on the low end of the white.
Okay.
Meaning so not yellow at all.
Right. Okay, so this
meaning
is just
like
going
natural
to-
white, not like that weird fake tooth yeah. white thing that yeah. some people have, and you're like, those are
and this is supposed veneers. To help you like maybe get
2 shades
okay oh that's not bad
like depending on how they said it's really good for people with darker teeth, and honestly I hate to say it, but Nikki just has always had naturally darker teeth
yeah.
but his teeth are good
yeah
so it's not like you want to put veneers on those teeth mm-hmm. so he's doing it, Max is doing it, and I'm doing it.
Oh, good.
He started on him, and I was like, I want that.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, so you do the at-home trays for 2 weeks, and he said, and then you go back in, and they do an in-office procedure, and they go, and that's where the dramatic results are.
Oh,
I'm like,
gosh.
Oh, it's like the big reveal on Botched.
That's so great.
Is that so funny?
It's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm doing that, okay. And what else? And that's it. And then I just have major anxiety about this thing I said yes to. Okay, but before we get into all of that, let's talk about the nursery.
Oh my God, I bet you people are like, stop talking about this baby.
No, but it was so cute. You used the bebé sign.
I did use it.
It looks beautiful.
I'm just waiting to hang a few more things, and then I'll do like a final photo reveal because I'm just not happy with it yet. But yeah, I mean, it's coming together.
But you kept the towers.
I kept the which towers?
The silver frame ones? Am I remembering that wrong?
The silver frames?
Yeah, the books were on before.
No,
those are different.
Those are out.
Well, what is there?
That's like a little hutch thing.
The hutch thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's just Pottery Barn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's just the Pottery Barn thing. So I have like little bins in there for all her little snoo wraps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sticking those in there. So everything sort of has a home. It's just it's a lot to take in, and then figuring out realistically, okay. I'll probably need this every day, so I'm going to, keep that sort of easy access, and it's just, it's crazy.
I know. You figure it out as you go along.
Yeah.
Did you see Gretchen's birth photos, Gretchen Rossi?
I did. It was a full-on photo shoot.
Oh, my gosh, because there were videos, and then you could see, like, it was almost like paparazzi
yeah.
photographers with the thing. But, man, she looked gorgeous.
She really did. I mean,
And I like that she posted pictures of herself also after surgery. She was posting pictures of her legs kind of swollen.
Yeah.
And everything. And she was like, keeping it, she likes to be
glamorous. The reality of it. Yeah.
But look, she likes to be glamorous. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's what makes her happy. It's great. I mean, I thought it was cute. And I liked all her little outfits with little baby Skylar and the whole thing.
Totally.
I texted her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. We texted back and forth a couple times.
That's so sweet.
I'm so happy.
How is she
her.
Doing? Does she feel good?
She feels good.
She does.
She sounded good. And I said, it's so funny. I go, the baby looks just like Slade.
It does, right? I thought so, too.
The girls always look like their dad. I don't know why, but especially the first one.
Yeah, I like looking
at Piper. But Piper doesn't.
Well, so far, who knows? She could look like the Marvel characters.
Oh, no, she's not going to look like that. Oh, my God, but the funniest thing. One quick story from Catalina. So Coco and I had this really amazing meal. Mm-hmm. So the next morning, we went back to this restaurant for breakfast before we went on the ferry home.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, and I wanted a mimosa because, she was having breakfast, and
yeah.
I ordered an omelet, whatever. And so what they had by the glass was Piper. Uh-huh. They had the Piper Brut, which was really good, I have to say. It was icy cold, like really, really good. So, of course, I'm thinking about you. Yeah. I'm thinking about Piper. I'm thinking about Riley. And so I start, did Riley tell you?
That you text him about the burger?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm like, I text him and I go, random. But you need to put this on the menu. Wagyu beef burger with perfectly crispy bacon and an egg on top.
You are obsessed with your egg. I'm like, obsessed. She's been obsessed since Paris.
Obsessed. But I weirdly, I had this in Pittsburgh a few years ago.
Yeah.
With the egg.
Yeah.
I thought it was their thing.
Oh. But you're obsessed with it now.
But you know what's funny is I don't like runny eggs because, you know, like, yes. I like well done, dry. I don't like mushy. But there's something about when they put it on the burger, the white part is done and the yellow's like either a little runny or half done. But it mixes so fast with the hot burger that it cooks.
Yeah.
And it makes it rich.
Yeah. I need to have one. I haven't had one in a really long
time. So Riley's like, I'll be the judge of that. I'll come and have one. I'm like, note, you're never coming to Catalina.
It's so
and
true.
And neither is Terry.
It's so true. They're
just, never happening.
They're just too bougie for
They're
that.
Way too bougie. But I have to say the food at this restaurant was excellent.
Good.
Yeah. We went to two really good restaurants. I randomly ran into this friend of mine, Yvette, that we had done Harvesters, charity event.
In Catalina?
No.
Oh.
Here.
Oh, okay.
But she and her husband have a boat and they had friends. And so what a lot of people do is they drive their boats to Catalina and they dock them.
Yeah.
And they go into town for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, have a little boat that they come back and forth. So the first day we were there, I ran into her. Uh-huh. They were walking their dogs and we're like, oh my God, hi. Nice. You know, what are you doing? And then that night we saw her at a restaurant.
Okay.
And so I was talking to her while we were waiting for our tables, blah, blah, blah. And then the next night I saw her at another restaurant and I'm like, well, now I know we went to the two best restaurants.
Right.
She's like, you did.
That's so great.
It was so funny. It was so cute too.
Catalina is also very small.
It's so tiny.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go to the restroom and Coco didn't want to go. And she's like eight. And I'm like, I can't really leave her sitting there. And so I went up to say, because Coco kept saying, why aren't you saying hi to your friend?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, because she's all the way over there at the bar. She's having dinner with her husband, you know. But I went over and I said, hi, on the way to the restaurant. I'm like, would you do me a favor? Can you just keep an eye on Coco? I just feel kind of... She's like, yeah, of course.
That's perfect.
So
the trip was overall a success?
Wait, I will get to the whole trip. The trip was fabulous. But I wanted to finish... Oh, because you said something to me about the snoo thing.
Yes.
And I thought it was so funny, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
So, because, you know, a lot of things change.
Yes.
But I want you to tell everyone what you said to me about how long she was going to be in the snoo.
Well, I'll tell you why I said this, because this is the consensus that I've sort of gained from everybody, is that they're in the snoo. They can be in the snoo up to about 7 months, realistically, because they have the swaddles, like the large ones, even if they're bigger. So the babies are like completely strapped in and whatnot. So I don't know why you think that's absolutely outrageous.
I don't think anything's outrageous and all babies are different. I just never had a baby swaddled at 6 months.
You think that's just too much? I mean, but nowadays I feel like even the ones where, like, with their little hands are up, right? And they're zipped up.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they're all essentially the same, no?
No, because here's the thing is that you never know when they're going to start sitting up and then they start touching things and that's why you have...
But not when they're all
right, but it's 6 months. You'll see. It becomes very obvious.
Right.
But they get to a certain stage where they're just
they like don't want to be strapped
in. They don't want to be strapped in and they kind of want to move their arms around and then all of a sudden they can sit up. And I used to have this little Fisher Price thing. I had it for all the kids that you strap over the rails and it's got lights and music. And I would turn it on for them before they go to sleep and play a little tune. I had a little light and there were different things. You could keep the light on all night or whatever.
Right.
And I never forget with all of them, the moment they got to the age where they could hit it themselves.
Yeah, you're
and
like...
it was so funny. But also, one of the things about babies, and you guys tell me if you agree or not, but they kind of need to learn to entertain themselves or else it's all you. And it's good for them.
Right.
They have to learn to self-soothe and they have to learn to, like, you know, be alone for a little bit and that's okay.
Yeah.
And so at a certain age, you have like those little plastic books in their crib in the corner.
Yeah.
Not on top of them.
Right.
You know, way in the corner and whatnot. And they're 6, 7 months old and they're rolling over and they're sitting up and they're grabbing it and touching it. And it's funny because then you watch them on the little monitors and they're just in there kind of entertaining
themselves.
Just hanging
out.
Doing their thing and it's fine.
I just feel like every child is so different. I mean, yes. She could come out and she could like maybe not even want to be swaddled. I know my niece hated it because she slept with her hands in front of her face. So she didn't like to be strapped. It was my nephew. He hated being swaddled. And then my niece loved it. So it was a complete opposite. So I'm hoping she'll even want to be in the snoo.
Yeah.
Because who knows? What if she's strapped down and hates it?
I never had a kid like that. All my kids, I mean, but from moment one,
yeah,
they were in the perfect. I mean, my baby nurse taught me like the swaddle of a lifetime.
Yeah.
I will show it to you, by the way.
But nowadays, they have all these crazy, like the Ollie, right? Like where you just do this. It's like a 1-2 and they are tight and they're in and they're.
But what if you're out somewhere?
What do you mean?
Like on the go somewhere. You travel with those things. They're like
easy
to bring.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, it's like almost like a Velcro so that you just. You put one hand over and then the other one.
We had those, but yeah. We did have those. Mm-hmm. The Velcro thing, yeah. The snoo, no. I think it's genius, as you know. But you'll figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes it's almost weirdly more comfortable and easier to swaddle them with just. I love those little cheesecloth.
They're
really
cute,
but they're really really easy.
Yeah.
To get a good, nice, tight. Swaddle, and it also depends on the temperature of the room.
Totally.
And how, you know what I mean? And all that kind of stuff.
It's so much. It's so overwhelming.
Are you overwhelmed?
I just hope I don't like accidentally kill her. And it's awful.
Oh my God, I just almost choked.
They're awful thoughts, but that's my biggest fear. Like, I just want to keep her alive.
Everyone feels that way. That's normal.
Oh my
God. It's totally normal. They come out. And then you have all this support staff at the hospital. And you know what I was really glad about? I was glad to see, because Gretchen Rossi posted a bunch of pictures, but she also said, like, sent the baby to the nursery for 2 hours so mom and dad could get a little sleep. And depending on what hospital you go to, a lot of them, they don't want to take your baby.
Mm-hmm.
They want that baby to stay with you. And I think sometimes it's because they want you to bond.
Right.
And sometimes it's because they don't want to take care of the baby. I think it depends on the hospital. I was very adamant about it. When I had the twins at Cedars, they were the best.
Yeah.
That fancy room at Cedars.
Right, right.
And that room came with a baby nurse. And so she was in there all the time and she would take the babies and clean them up and bring them back in. It was like the 50s.
That's awesome.
It was genius. And then I had the other two at Hogue, which was a completely different story, but I can't remember which one it was. They just did not want to take the baby. And I'm like, I think it was Coco.
You're like, I need to sleep.
I was like, listen, I've got 3 other kids at home. I need to rest. You need to take her. Bring her back in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
And they did.
I feel like I've gotten a lot of messages about that, being stern about that, and then being stern about breastfeeding. Like, don't let them shame you into breastfeeding.
No one bugs me.
Yeah. So, and I hear that you get shamed a lot about breastfeeding. So I want to just make sure I don't get too hard on myself with that.
No one bugged me. I remember when I had the twins, the gal came in and said, do you know what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Can we support you in any way? It was just very
nice.
And then at Hogue, it was just from day one. Fine. Oh, yeah. I know what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about what you're bringing to the hospital.
Yes.
But here's the thing. I do not want to forget to tell you this. You need to bring candy for the nurses.
I heard that. Yeah, they said bring a little something for them.
You bring, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
You get 20 1-pound boxes of See's candy.
Yeah.
And anyone you see that's, you know, she's going to be on for the next 4 hours, you give that to her, you give that to her, you give that to him. Anyone that's nice to you that's around, you give them a box of candy.
Yes, totally.
And they're so appreciative.
Yes.
Or you could bring gift cards is another thing to do, or you can do both.
Absolutely.
Like you can bring candy for everyone, and then the few special people that really did something extra for you, you can give them gift cards. It is the nicest thing to do because nursing is, as far as I'm concerned, and Terry will tell you this, the hardest job.
Oh, I can imagine. Yep.
And amazing.
Yeah.
You should bring, you know what else you should bring with you? Mm. Beats.
Like headsets?
No.
What do you mean?
The drinkable beats.
Oh, you drinkable beats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You'll feel so good.
I was going to have him actually bring me celery juice, but then I was thinking, am I not going to want to poop my pants?
I wouldn't do the celery juice.
No?
Um,
it, like, for right now, it's what literally keeps me alive. So I'm wondering, is that just going to be bad on my stomach?
No,
or is it going to help?
I take it back. I think it'll help. And I'll tell you the other thing, because what happens?
You get constipated, don't you?
Well, because here's two things. Number one, when you have surgery like that, your bowel system shuts down.
Right.
With the epidural and all that. So it's got to wake back up. And some people it wakes up well, and some people it doesn't. So, and that might help. And also, you don't want to have to push because you've got like stitches and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I take it back.
So maybe yes.
I would have the celery juice and I would drink the beets.
Yes. I will add that to my list.
You know why? It'll just open your blood vessels. You'll have energy. You'll feel good because you're not going to want to drink coffee. You're going to try breastfeeding and the whole thing. And drink the beets.
I like it. I'm adding that to my list.
Yeah. And then I told you this the other day on the phone, but for me, I know a lot of people bring a lot of stuff to the hospital. Mm-hmm. You're going to do a walkthrough to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember ever doing that.
No. Mine is mandatory the day before.
I don't remember doing that. I may have, but I don't remember.
I don't know.
But with some of the pregnancies, I was there a lot because of complications. Yeah. So I saw it. But I had been to Hoag before. Their rooms are beautiful. They have ocean views. I mean, unbelievable. So they're really nice. Like if there's a nice pillow in it, there's a nice bed, and they have a pull-out thing for your partner to be on. So it's really dialed in, and you really don't need to bring pillows and stuff like that.
Right.
Which I personally wouldn't bring, but I'm not someone that brings a pillow on an airplane. I just feel like their stuff is sanitary. Use their stuff. Now, if you're going through labor and delivery and you're going to be there for 10, 15, 20 hours, ladies, bring whatever the hell you need.
Right.
I mean, bring the whole living room. Bring your favorite pillow, whatever. Burn it after. Wash it. Send it to the cleaners. Whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the cleaners?
What?
I'll go back to that. Whatever you have to do, you bring. Snacks, radio, tunes, whatever. Oh, I would bring that. I would bring a mini speaker.
Yes, I heard that too.
Mm-hmm. But in general, when you're having a C-section, you want your clothes.
I got a lot of bring a sound machine.
Why? For white noise?
For the white noise, for the baby.
Yeah, but you know your phone
has
so many.
I don't know, but I wasn't sure if that's even necessary.
Personally, I don't think so. You have white noise on your phone. You go to YouTube.
And just
11 hours of fan noise.
I have Calm too. Yeah, I can just do that.
I think that's fine.
And then, I mean, I just feel like the essentials are like a charging block, right? Mm-hmm. Just in case my phone or a long cord or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Pajamas, a robe, slippers. Things that are going to be easy. What's it called to bandage your belly? What is it?
A binder.
And I heard toiletries.
Yes.
Like just like bring – well, they even said like bring your own towel.
No.
Because it's like so rough and gross. And
no, it's fine. You don't need to bring your own towel. You're not in a third world country. You're in Newport Beach. The hospital's good. You're going to be fine with the towel.
Yeah.
By the way, if there's a problem, you text me. I will bring you a towel. Yeah. I promise.
I mean, I'm not going to be doing anything. I'm not going to be getting ready there. I just feel like I just need like the
basics.
Yes, you will.
You're going to shower. You're going to wash your hair.
Oh, I mean like full blown. Like I'm not doing my hair there. I'm not doing any of that stuff.
You might. It might make you feel good. You'd be surprised. If I were you.
I don't even do my hair now. I'm just going to put my hair up probably.
Oh, yeah, maybe. But you never know. You never know. But you're going to have your hair blown dry the day. You're going to blow dry your hair before you go.
Yeah, probably.
So your hair will be down.
The day up. Yeah.
And then you'll put it up. Like on vacation.
Totally.
So you have some
pictures. Second day, third day hair.
Yeah. Second day, third, you'll
just
hair up.
Exactly.
Perfect. But here's what I suggest you do. You pack like you're going away for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Meaning, so you have all your toiletries and your basic makeup things. I would bring shampoo and conditioner and your body wash.
Yep.
And I would bring your blow dryer.
I think so.
I would. Just a little. You can even bring like a little travel one if you want.
Yeah, I do have a travel one.
Yeah, just bring that. Pop that in there just in case you feel like doing it. Even just because what happens is you come out of the shower and you feel like a human.
Right.
And just, you know, sometimes you want to just get the water out of your hair. Just
do it.
I would do that. Now, the first time I went with the twins, I brought like a wardrobe like for Saint-Tropez.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I had a robe. I had the da-da-da-da-da. I never wore a robe, so I didn't bring it the other times. Mm-hmm. I always just brought, like, you know how I tell everyone to throw out their old ratty stuff and buy the nice loungewear? Nice loungewear. Super stretchy for me, all black, lots of my fabulous scarves for a pop of color. But here's the big tip. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
You need socks. Instead of slippers, my advice to you is to get a pair of slip-in sneakers.
Ah.
They want you to get moving as soon as possible, and then you push the baby around. the halls, which is a good way to get moving. And slippers sometimes just aren't, you just don't walk as well in a slipper as you do in a sneaker. And I've done both, but for me, the sneaker has always been the way to go. And you know, like sometimes you ever like worn sneaker, slippers on carpeting, you trip.
Yeah.
They're like carpeted hallways in some of the hallways. And so I don't know. For me, I just found that slip-in sneakers was a better thing. And then you have them and your feet are swollen too.
Right. Okay. So I like that.
Slip-in's a better idea. That's all you need. And then you need outfits for her, outfits for your pictures, outfits to take her home in, and her car seat. That's it. They, by the way, they give you everything you need. They give you, like, they have a comb, they have a little brush, and you want it because it's so cute that it's from the hospital.
And the diapers and all that. I mean, they have everything.
They give you everything. I mean, are you really going to schlep diapers and wipes?
No. The only thing was the formula. That was the other big controversy of they have formula. Everyone else is saying don't use their formula because it has all like the crap in it and the syrups and the...
I found the formula good. They had Enfamil, and I remember one of the hospitals gave you a choice.
Between?
Enfamil
and another
brand.
Yeah. I'm just getting a lot of go German because those are like the most natural and whatnot. So that's
it's a personal preference.
And people are saying don't even use it. If you're going to breastfeed, the baby gets what it needs until your milk comes in. So don't stress about it. So I don't know.
You'll figure it out as you go. Yep. That's why don't bother bringing it.
Yeah.
If you need it, they'll have it.
Exactly.
And they have these really good little bottles, and it's like it's the pre-made, and they've just put a little nipple on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're so cute. They're these little
tiny
little 2-ounce bottles, and you just screw a nipple on it. And
it's so
easy, and it's so cute. When we were at Cedars, I remember the baby nurse there. They gave me like a case of it while we were leaving. Like, here, just take it.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so nice. But yeah, you don't overpack for the hospital.
Yeah.
You will be fine. And you have me, you have Riley, you have your mom.
Totally.
If you need something, one of us will go get it for you.
No need to overdo it.
No.
Yeah.
Just pack your one little Ramoa rolly bag.
That's what I'm planning on doing.
And you're good to go.
Okay, good.
All right. We have to go.
Sorry, everybody.
Sorry. I'm sorry. We got off on a tangent. I apologize. But I promise you, tomorrow I'm going to tell you this thing that I'm doing that I'm totally terrified of. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And I'll tell you about my trip with Coco. It was so good. Oh my God, I want to tell you all about it. We're going to take a quick break. But before we do, every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. Well, you can't really put a price tag on your stories, but now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Check out TrueCar, and you're going to put your license plate number in there, and then you watch how your car's details just pop up. It's so cool. And then you just answer a few questions. Do you have navigation and a moonroof? That bumps your value up. High mileage? All right. Well, you already knew that one was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas. All right, so please stay tuned. Listen carefully to what Shannon Watts has to say and what her journey was. And, you know, gosh, if we could all take this into our own lives and just see how we can make a difference somewhere, and we can. Listen to this. Shannon Watts coming up right now. Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
Please welcome Shannon Watts.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is a thrill.
I am thrilled to have you here. Moms Demand Action. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about your book, Fight Like a Mother, everything. But I'd love to go back to the beginning because, like so many other people, you know, I think we see things on the news and we hear about things that happen and guns and kids and we go, oh my God, this is terrible. And we write things like sending love and prayers, but which is great, but that's just not enough.
It's not.
So tell me your story and how did this all start for you?
Yeah, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom of five kids in 2012. And I remember I was folding the laundry, which is a full-time job when you have five kids. Yeah. And the news started to come on that there'd been a horrific tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. And I was watching in disbelief, just thinking, please, God, don't let this be as bad as it seems. And as we all know, it was a million times worse than we can even fathom 7 years later, right? Mm. That 20 children and six educators would be slaughtered in the sanctity of an elementary school. And I was devastated, just like everyone else. But then I started to get angry because I started seeing pundits and politicians saying that the solution was more guns.
And, right, because they wanted to arm
right,
the school.
Arm teachers yeah. or arm civilians. And look, we have 400 million guns in this country. If more guns and fewer laws made us safer, we'd be the safest country in the world. Instead, we have a 25 times higher gun homicide rate than any other developed nation. And I knew nothing about gun laws. I knew nothing about organizing, but I knew our country was broken. And I wanted to join something like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, but for gun safety. And I couldn't find anything.
So you like went online, looked on Facebook, looked on, you know,
yeah.
websites. Nothing.
I spent a couple hours thinking I'll just join whatever exists. And I found mainly think tanks run by men or some one-off state organizations, also mostly run by men. I wanted to be part of a badass army of women because I know who that's who gets stuff done in this country. And I just started a Facebook page to have a conversation. And it was like lightning in a bottle. Women and moms from across the country started reaching out and saying, I want to get off the sidelines, too.
That's, I mean, it's just amazing because, I mean, like you, I have four kids and I remember watching it and just bawling my eyes out because I think the thing that struck me the most and every time there's a tragedy is that moment where the parents, they show the parents standing there waiting for news to see if it's your child.
Can you even imagine?
No. And as we're like talking about this, I have sick chills but I just remember sobbing. And anytime there's a tragedy like that. And even when I hear like, you know, as moms, we drive by, we see a siren or an ambulance and we look, even though we know our kids are home or safe or, you know, you look because you're just nervous. But seeing that just really took something to the next level. But it's amazing how you jumped into action like that, because I think so many of us need to do that. And one of the things we try to do here is obviously talk about these issues and bring amazing women like you on the show to teach other people how to do it.
Well, and to be clear, I appreciate that, but I'm an average woman. I was just a stay-at-home mom in Indiana. Anyone can do this. Anyone has the power to become an activist. And that's what's so important to remember is that we can use our voices and our votes. They're really important levers that women have in this country. Even if we don't represent most lawmakers or even CEOs, we do have a lot of power. And we have to tap into that, whether it's on this issue or any issue. And that's why I wrote Fight Like a Mother, to talk about that.
Okay, so on a practical level, because people, I think a lot of people want to make a change and want to get involved, but really don't know how. All right, so you start this Facebook group and lightning in a bottle, as you so aptly put it. And so all of a sudden, you're getting tens of thousands of women. Are they mostly women? Are they mostly moms?
Mostly women, and many of them moms. But, you know, here we are almost 7 years later. We have a chapter in every single state of the country. We have hundreds of thousands of active volunteers. I'm a full-time volunteer. And we have nearly 6 million supporters. We're actually bigger than the NRA is. So this was about harnessing that interest and that desire to get off the sidelines, giving all these type A women something to do. And that was to either work on electoral politics or work on legislation or change the culture. We have this program where we teach people about responsible gun storage. So it really runs the gamut of how do we move the needle on this issue?
Yeah, I also saw that you are very into helping women get elected, which is amazing. And maybe not even just for gun control, but just in general.
So we found that when you spend a lot of time in your state house, you realize that these people are not rocket scientists. 80% of them are men, and they don't necessarily have our best interests in mind. And so you intuitively realize you have the skill set, not just to shape policy, but to make it. In 2018, 40 of our volunteers and gun violence survivors ran for office, 17 won.
Wow.
Everything from city council to Congress. And it's such an important part of turbocharging this effort. It's great every day to be in the trenches and making changes, but it's also great to be sitting in state houses or in the Capitol or even on your school board or your city council and make change there.
Because you can start from a small. It doesn't have to be sitting on a Senate seat. It can start being on your PTA.
That's actually where a lot of change really occurs and matters. You know, in Los Angeles, we just helped pass an initiative through the city council that will require parents, there's 700,000 families in that school district, to bring home paperwork about responsible gun storage. It's part of our Be Smart program. That is going to save lives. And so all of this change matters. It doesn't matter how big or how small.
Tell me about the book.
You know, I really wanted to write for three reasons. One, part memoir. I wanted to talk about what it's like to go from being a stay-at-home mom to the tip of the spear on an issue that can be very volatile. I wanted to make it part manual, so talk about how did we do this and how can anyone else, especially women, do it mm-hmm. in their neighborhood or their community. And part manifesto, which is this idea of moving from shaping policy to making it, encouraging women to run for office.
So go back for a second. How do you do it? Give me some tips. If someone's sitting out there going, wow, I love this. You know, Shannon's doing a great job. What? And I have this issue that I'm really excited about or passionate about. How do I make that happen? You have this Facebook group. What'd you do? Did you call like a town meeting? How did you get people together? How did you get
yeah.
people organized?
And I go into that very specifically in the book, but big picture, it is about going and jumping in. You don't have to wait until all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted to get involved. And, you know, if I had waited until I knew everything about gun laws and gun policy or organizing, I would have missed the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so often I think women are perfectionists and they wait until they know everything and they're worried about failing in public. And you can't be worried because basically failure is feedback. And the other important thing to know is that you're going to lose. You're not going to get involved in any issue like this and expect to win all the time. And I talk about something called losing forward. And it's this idea of being prepared to lose, but learning enough that you win the next battle.
Failure is feedback.
I love that. That's good
stick. I love that.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It is true. Now, going from stay-at-home mom to activist author, creating legislation and everything you do, how is that balance with the kids? How much time have you put in? Because obviously a lot of time, and you know, we've written books, so I know it's very time. It's another full-time job, and having children's a full-time job. What's the balance? How are you doing that?
It was obviously a huge disruption in my life to go from a stay-at-home mom who could do anything she wanted at any time to being on the road almost constantly and working on this issue really from the moment I woke up till the moment I went to bed. That's how consumed I've been with this issue. And my husband has had to certainly step up and do more of the heavy lifting around the house.
And he does it?
And he does.
Really?
And yeah, he's been really wonderful. And the kids have had to get used to having me substitutes for me at certain things, but they've been incredibly supportive. They're very proud. When I started this, they were everything from elementary through college, and now they're all adults, which is amazing. I think the secret is that when you have something you're passionate about, when you have something you care about, your kids love that. They love to see their moms engaged in the world and doing what fulfills them, in addition to obviously being a parent. But I have experienced nothing but benefits. When you look at how passionate I am about this issue, I think I was very much a helicopter parent. I was that passionate about their homework mm-hmm. and their success in school.
Well, it's hard. Did you work before you had kids?
I did.
So did I. So I think, and I talk about this a lot, but it's a very difficult transition to go from full-time working person to stay-at-home mom. I mean, your brain all of a sudden starts going to mush.
It is such a transition. And I was grateful, frankly, after the 5-year break to have something again that felt as fulfilling as my career did. Not that parenting isn't, it is. But it was time for me to get involved in something.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I had a not with this kind of thing, but I had a similar experience of going back to work. And I agree with you. I think that when children see their parents, and especially their moms, who is usually the primary caregiver, doing something that's fulfilling and creative, they are proud. And yeah, but you do get that guilt sometimes when you can't be at that performance or this school event or that thing. I mean, we all go through that.
Of course. And I don't think, though, in retrospect, that's what they remember. I think they remember the moments that they were proud of me and saw me succeeding and working hard. Obviously, working on this issue also comes with drawbacks. I mean, within hours, I started to receive death threats and threats of sexual violence, not just to me, but to my daughters. And so my kids have had to handle some of the blowback that comes along with being the tip of the spear on a volatile issue, but they've handled it with grace.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. So how quickly after you started your group did that start happening? Did you start getting threats?
Immediately.
Really?
Immediately. I mean, all of my public information was out there. I never expected that I would be doing this.
Right, so of course not.
My phone number, my address, my email. And I immediately started getting texts, calls. People would infiltrate my social media, find pictures and share them publicly, dox me and share my address. We had people driving slowly by the house. Mm. I can remember in the early days, I called the local police department and an officer came to the house and he said, well, that's what you get when you mess with the Second Amendment, ma'am. So the blowback was swift. However, it became white noise very quickly because I realized this was just an attempt to intimidate and silence me. And if we lose our kids, we have nothing left to lose. So I just wasn't going to be silent.
I love that. But I can't imagine being in that position of, wow, I'm trying to protect the children of the country, and yet I'm putting my children in potential danger to do it. Were you worried about sending them to school? Do they walk to school? I mean, did they when they were younger?
You know, I have always considered, again, that is sort of white noise. These, I think they're like guys in their mom's basement. I can't let fear stop me from doing something that's so important. And honestly, if my kids had expressed fear, I probably would have stopped because that would have been more important to me. But my family has been so supportive every step of the way. And the more that people behave like that, the more threats I get, the angrier I get, which just makes me want to get in the trenches and do this work even harder because these are not the people who should be making our gun laws.
So where are we now with the gun laws?
This is so important to remember is that we're winning. We really are. People are waiting for this cathartic moment in Congress, and because it hasn't come, they think we're not winning. And we are every single day. Whether it's playing defense, we've beat back about 90% of the NRA's bad bills. Just last year alone, we beat back 1,000. And those are bills that would require teachers to be armed or put guns on college campuses or expand stand your ground laws, which are incredibly dangerous to people of color. On the other hand, we're also playing offense at the state level. Since we started Moms Demand Action, we've closed the background check loophole now in 21 states. We've passed something called a red flag law, which allows family and police to temporarily disarm someone who's a danger to themselves or others in 17 states. We have passed laws that disarm domestic abusers in 28 states. All of this work being done every year. And I really think that Congress is where this work ends. It's not where it begins. So we had to create this political movement and become a political powerhouse in every single state house. And that's what we've done.
So what do you say to your critics?
I think the way to frame this issue is the fact that this is not polarizing. So my critics are this very vocal minority that has been created by the gun lobby. And for too long, they've been the ones writing our gun laws. We know that there's this not so silent anymore majority. Mm-hmm. About 90% of Americans support stronger gun laws. About 80% of gun owners, even 74% of NRA members support things like a background check on every gun sale. This is about loosening the stranglehold the NRA has had on some of our state and federal lawmakers. And we're doing that finger by finger.
What do you say to people that say that you're just, a new face for Bloomberg?
Well, you know, there's a lot of sexism that goes along with working on this issue. Certainly, he was one of our largest donors. We now have 350,000 donors. And the idea that a woman couldn't have created this organization and helped create all the success is par for the course in America. But the other thing to remember is, you know, we're not anti-gun. We support the Second Amendment. We have many volunteers who are gun owners or they're married to gun owners. This is just about restoring the responsibilities that go along with gun rights.
Because I think that's a big misconception is that people would think, oh, well, Shannon Watts, she just doesn't want any guns anywhere. Get rid of all the guns. But you're not saying that.
No, I'm not.
Have you guys ever owned a gun?
I grew up around guns. Both of my grandfathers were World War II veterans. They were hunters. My ex-husband is a gun owner. So this is not something that's foreign to me. I've lived in a lot of red states. But the other thing that we work on, and it's so important to remember, is that someone you may not think is a gun owner could be. And so when you send your kids over to friends or family's homes, you have to ask about how they're stored.
It's funny. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even think to ask if someone has
you
a gun.
You have to. We have a program called Be Smart, and you can find more at besmartforkids.org. But we teach you how to ask the question. And it's amazing how many volunteers have said to me, I never imagined asking, and I did. And my in-laws keep a loaded gun in a shoebox under the bed where my kids sleep. So it's incredibly important. Even in the bluest of states, people are gun owners and they aren't necessarily storing their guns responsibly. And so anytime your kids go to family or friends' homes, it's a question you have to ask.
It seems like such a duh thing to say, but I think we're also focused on drugs that, you know, because the conversation is always like, is there alcohol in the house? Are the parents going to be home? Does this kid vape? These are the conversations we have with our teenagers. I don't know. How old is your youngest?
Yeah, 18. And certainly had those conversations. But the other question that you can just add to that list is, are you a gun owner? And if so, how do you store your guns?
That
if they
is
store
brilliant.
Their
we
guns
all
responsibly,
need to be
that's
asking
great.
That. I just can't believe I have not thought of that till this day. I'm
but
so glad you said that.
Guns around kids should be locked, unloaded, and separate from ammunition. Full stop. And if they're not, then the play date needs to be somewhere else.
So when I met my husband, he had two rifles. And why he had them, I'll let him tell the story someday. But I remember we were living in Bel Air, and we were living in this house that was like in an odd spot. Like you could definitely be, you know, taken at this place. But he had these two rifles under the bed. And one night the butcher block fell in the kitchen and the lights went on because we had that clapper light thing, and all he thought someone was in there, and he grabbed the gun and he went, and it was a whole crazy thing. And I was so freaked out because I did not grow up with guns. I'm not a gun person. I'm not necessarily against them, as you were saying, but it was the freakiest thing ever. And then I thought, oh, and it turned out to be nothing. But then I sold the guns.
Well, and what if it was your mother-in-law, or you know, what if it was
kidding.
Or a neighbor, or even, you know, that happens with people and their children.
Yes.
They come in, they sneak in the house, yeah. And they think.
Someone was telling me a story yesterday that when the earthquake, it was my mother-in-law. She was over last night. Isn't that funny? She was over last night because we were talking about earthquakes, and they grew up, they were in the valley, and they were talking about an earthquake that was like they were on the fault line. So I've been in big earthquakes, but this is like they were saying you can really feel the ground rumble and the noise and the whole thing. And she was saying her husband at the time pulled his gun out in the middle of an earthquake because he was scared. And so that was his knee-jerk reaction. I'm scared. Let me get my gun. But can you imagine in an earthquake when things are falling and shaking?
No, that's a really bad idea.
It's a really bad idea. But why was it under his bed like armed and ready to go?
Right.
This is a bad plan.
That is not considered responsible gun storage.
So where do you see the organization going from here? What do you hope to see in the next 5 years?
Well, there's an incredibly important election this year in Virginia, in the state of Virginia. Every single seat in the General Assembly is up, so we'll be working on that. But moving toward 2020, the presidential election, obviously, and then all of the other elections across the country, what we're seeing that's really fascinating is that every single presidential candidate, including the Republican that is primarying the president, supports stronger gun laws. So at this point, really, Donald Trump is the odd man out. We're seeing Democrats compete on who can be the best on this issue. So that's a sea change in American politics, and a lot of it because of Moms Demand Action, working on the ground to show lawmakers, if you do the right thing, we'll have your back. If you do the wrong thing, we'll have your job.
Tell people how to get involved.
It's very easy. You can text the word READY to 64433, and someone will get back to you. A volunteer will call you and tell you how you can join where you live. You can go to momsdemandaction.org. And then if you buy my book, Fight Like a Mother, the proceeds go to gun violence prevention organizations.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here. This was absolutely incredible. Please go get Shannon's book and check out Moms Demand Action. Tell everyone one more time the number to text to.
64433 and just text the word READY.
Unbelievable. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
She's incredible.
Yeah, she really is. Wow. Very inspiring.
Very inspiring. It doesn't have to take a tragedy in your own life in order to be inspired and make a difference. And thank God it wasn't a tragedy for Absolutely. Her personally that inspired her. Thank you guys so much for the support. We will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely their fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Try the Superlight Tree Runner with a cushy foam midsole and breathable eucalyptus fiber upper. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. So what can you do in a Superlight shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com. Code SUPER24.